Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be enough heavy stories this week taking place as Jim Jordan and his crew in Congress are in New York trying to discuss crime in New York City and out Alvin Bragg, the DA that's coming after Donald Trump, and so many other things that are going on. So I thought I'd just start the week on something a little more fun, a little lighter here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, and that is a story that I read at Daily Caller where they have some apparently inside information about Donald Trump and what he thinks he's going to do for a vice presidential pick. Now, if you think this is way too early to be discussing a vice presidential pick, I can't argue that in any way, shape, or form. But I can tell you that talking about what Donald Trump may or may not do as he goes forward is always good business, and everybody kind of wants to know what's going on. We're on the assumption that he's going to beat this thing in New York. I don't know what's going to happen in Georgia or some of these other wacky things that they're going to try to produce against Trump, or if they have anything on him on January 6th that could really get him in some sort of legal jeopardy. I'm not sure his voters will care. I'm not sure they're going to care in the primaries. And I don't think it's going to matter when he's out there on the debate stage. I don't think there's one other Republican on a debate stage in a primary debate that is going to attack Trump for these legal problems that's going to land any real blows that's going to hurt him with his core voters. So I'm at this point anyway going on the assumption that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. Of course, Ron DeSantis has a chance. I'm not ruling him out, and I'm not saying I'd be anything anti-DeSantis at any point. But the way it looks right now is it's Trump's to lose. Of course, he can lose it. There's a lot of things out there that could trip him up. But since we're watching Trump and everybody's talking about Trump and he's going up in the polls because the Democrats are after him again, which is basically in a primary endorsement, and there will need to be a big switch between winning a primary and running for a general election with Trump, that will be the choppy water to navigate if indeed he's the candidate. It's interesting to read at Daily Caller that they have in what they claim is inside information that Donald Trump, all things being equal, okay, he says not for sake of diversity. He told his people, I don't want to do this for the sake of diversity, but all things being equal, he intends to find the right female to run as his vice presidential candidate. And this is pretty big news. Daily Caller's a reputable organization. They're very embedded and deep inside Trump world and conservative politics in America. So I thought it would be interesting to take a moment or two and talk about that, okay? So let's say all things being equal, which is never really the case. First of all, I don't believe in that, all things being equal. If you put the resumes on a piece of paper and you sent them over to Trump, there's a no contest going on here. Okay, so honestly, there's no contest in some of these people I'm going to tell you who is the most outstanding person to run for vice president here. Based on resume. If it's blind, we're not looking at your gender, your skin color, anything like that. If you're just looking at resumes, this isn't close. We will finish by telling you who the one that isn't close, who's easily the best person for the job. I'll tell you that person last, okay? Because it's a white man. So here's what Trump's looking at. If he really wants to go with a female, to me, this is an absolute no-brainer at this point, who it would be. Everybody's talking about Carrie Lake in Arizona. She lost her election. It can't be her. She's fantastic. She'd make a tremendous White House spokesperson. I think that would be a great job for her in a Trump administration. I think you would see her in that role. Running as vice president, I think it would be a laughingstock because she's never won an election. She hasn't won. She hasn't done anything. She was a news anchor. She's terrific. I like her a lot. If she'd won and were governor of Arizona, maybe, but she'd be so new to the job, it would be difficult. Elise Stefanik in New York, we're just going to cut to the chase here. I told you we're going to have some fun to start the podcast this week. Elise Stefanik in New York is terrific. She's very young. I think she's only about 38 years old, under 40, but that's okay. No issue there. I've got no issue with there. We're good so far. She's good on policy. She's an elected official. She has a really nice resume. Not a great resume, but a very nice resume. But Elise Stefanik does not look like Carrie Lake or Kristi Noem. And we know what Trump really, really, really likes. When he has females on his staff, females around him, we know what he's looking for. Elise Stefanik is not ugly. She's not unattractive. I'm not saying that. She just isn't Kristi Noem or Carrie Lake. So that would be interesting to see if that would be somebody that he would think of. Same thing for Sarah Sanders, who's the new governor in Arkansas, who worked for Trump. They're close. She's got an excellent resume. She's Trump through and through. Does she carry, does she have the charisma and the attraction to voters that Trump would be looking for? Nikki Haley is not conservative enough. That seems easy to me. Marjorie Taylor Greene is too polarizing. I just think she is. I don't think there's any way you go with Marjorie Taylor Greene's going to hurt you and can't really help you. What Trump's going to want to do is bring somebody in that looks like she's done it all. She's raising a family. She's accomplished in her career. You know, she has conservative values, family values, and looks like a role model. To me, this is a slam dunk. It's Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. If that's what he's looking for, if he's looking for a woman right now today, it's Kristi Noem. I've told you that I think Vivek Ramaswamy would be an outstanding vice presidential choice. And I don't think all things are equal here. I think you do look for diversity in this. I think the last thing you want is an old white guy like Mike Pence that he did the first time, saying you want another old white guy on the ticket. And it's the last thing Trump needs is that. He needs something to bring out new voters or to sway people who are on the other side. And perhaps we know that Indian Americans are largely conservative. And they have voted for Trump, but they don't particularly like Trump. There's a lot of people fit into that category. Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, would be an outstanding vice presidential choice, although his resume, while I think it's appealing, a lot of people may say it's too thin. He's young. He's only 37, I believe. He's young. His resume is all in the business world. It's financial. It's business. But he's highly educated. He's very smart on all these policies. And would be, I mean, he's smarter than Trump on all these policies. Trump's a gut politician. Trump just kind of knows how to do things by feel and experience, and he's very good at that. Vivek Ramaswamy is really smart. Smartest guy in the room, whatever. It's early. I'm not saying Vivek is my guy. I'm just saying it would be interesting to consider if you're looking for something other than an old white dude on your ticket, which I think is out. I think that's out. I think you can cross anybody. Any old white guy, you can cross them out. There's no reason for Trump to take on an old white guy and have them be the vice president. You can just scratch that off. So that's gone. Daily Caller also reports in this, in addition to all these women that we've mentioned here, there is no mention of Vivek Ramaswamy, but I'm including that person as a diversity candidate. They mentioned one white guy in this article. One white dude in the entire article. And it is, by far, by resume, by everything we've just discussed, this isn't close. If it's a blind draw, if the resumes are on your desk, there's no name attached, there's only a number at the top of each sheet, this one is over. This takes 10 seconds to decide who your running mate is, and that is Josh Hawley from the great state of Missouri. Josh Hawley is apparently not only number one, but the only white dude that Trump is considering at this point. What he loves about Josh Hawley is, he's really smart. He's outstanding on America First policy. He's the smartest guy in the room, and he doesn't try to take the air out of the room. He doesn't have any kind of a personality that is a challenge to Trump. He's not going to try to... Josh Hawley doesn't really want to be a star. Josh Hawley is in politics to make a difference. Josh Hawley wants to win. He wants to affect change and he wants to help save America, but he knows his limitation, that his way of doing that is not the Trump way. It's not by getting 50,000 people at a rally. That's never going to happen for Josh Hawley. He doesn't have that personality. The only road he would ever have to the White House is vice president first. I could never see Josh Hawley winning any kind of a primary. I just can't. He just isn't that kind of politician. But once people get to know him well enough, and if he were vice president of a successful 4 years of Trump, he could be hell on wheels. He could be really, really hard to beat. And I think Josh Hawley, I think if I could pick any, even over DeSantis, if I could pick anybody to be president of the United States, Josh Hawley would be so great for this country. I just don't know how he's going to get there. I don't know how he's ever going to get to the White House. This guy doesn't give two Fs about what anybody thinks. He doesn't back down to the left in any way. He is not a table pounder. He's not a big, bold personality. It's going to be Josh Hawley, if he became president and started getting attacks from the left, with most Americans, it would look like he's being picked on. They will look at him and go, well, why are they picking on this guy? He's a virtuous man. He's a devout Christian. He's doing good things. We may not like these policies, but he doesn't hurt anybody. All of the things they attack Trump on, or even like George W. Bush, that he's dumb or lazy, or, you know, the old things that they used to throw out about Bush. There's none of that with Holly. There isn't much. He got pretty strong armor around him. They could fire things at him and he would look, I think, more like a victim. But a very interesting story at Daily Caller, if you want to go read it. I think if that story is accurate, and we're a long ways away. I mean, we're a year plus away from Trump picking a running mate, if indeed Trump is the candidate. I think if what they're saying he's thinking about for someone to be his vice presidential pick, I think it's Kristi Noem. I don't think she's got a resume. I don't think Kristi Noem is a great president. I don't think she's a deep thinker. I think she has a lot of shortcomings. She certainly isn't perfect, but for what they're describing, what Trump wants, she has plenty of resume as the governor of South Dakota. She looks the part. She won't upstage him. You know, Carrie Lake at times may upstage Trump at some of these things, although he might like it from her. I don't know. I just see Carrie Lake as, if he wins, being the White House press secretary. That's just the way I see it. And I don't see Marjorie Taylor Greene factoring in at all. I think she's just too polarizing. I think he knows that. And Nikki Haley is not conservative enough and has said some things against Trump. So I don't see how that's possible. But a very interesting read at Daily Caller if you want to check that out. I watched a really interesting interview over the weekend on television. This was a man named Dr. Joel Walskog. He's formerly an orthopedic surgeon. He is 50 years old. And in December of 2020, he took the Moderna jab. 7 days after the jab, this orthopedic surgeon was debilitated with something called transverse myelitis. He is now unemployed and trying to find a purpose in life. He's healthy now. He's not going to die. He's healthy, but he's debilitated. He can no longer be a surgeon. He shakes. He's done. He took the Moderna shot. 7 days later, he was perfectly healthy when he took it. He had nothing. He went in and took it. And 7 days later, his career as an orthopedic surgeon was over. 7 days later. So he is on a campaign around America now to tell people the biggest ruse in history is the number of jab injuries that we are hiding in America and the fact that we're not doing anything about it. This is an orthopedic surgeon. This is a man to be taken seriously. This is not some quack. If you watch this thing, you can tell he's not some grifter, not some wacko, not some crazoid. He's not that guy. This happened to him, and the host of the show said, okay, so what's next? After this happens to you, what's next? And he gave an answer that was haunting to me, and I'd never really thought of it in this way. He said, what happens next is you're abandoned. And following up, he said, society just leaves you in its wake. You're no longer a doctor. You're physically harmed. You're financially harmed. You're emotionally harmed. He said, I'm in a position where I have money. I built up enough money as an orthopedic surgeon over years that I'll be okay. But all these other tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, into the millions of people that have had their health deteriorate since taking the shot, and he says, we don't know the actual numbers. All we know is it's happening everywhere. I saw a story this weekend of a 17-year-old kid that went to one of those indoor rock climbing things. And he climbs up to the top. He raced up, was doing great. He's physically fit. He rock climbs. He does all this stuff. He goes up to the top of this thing, and all of a sudden, he's just hanging there. And they're like, what's wrong with, uh-oh. They bring him down, and he's had a heart attack. 17 years old. His pulse stops. Some miracle story that he was out for this long, extended period of time. Paramedics came. They pronounced him dead or thought he was dead, but kept working on him, and he came back. And all I could think of when I saw this story was, how many shots did this 17-year-old get in order to compete in sports? And why is he at the top of this rock climbing thing, hanging there by the rope, suffering a heart attack at 17? We're seeing some of the weirdest medical things anywhere in this country. And Dr. Joel Walskog from this interview says, most people don't know this. He's kind of working on an advocacy group. He wants people to know of some government fund called the Injury Compensation Fund. Apparently, the federal government has something called the Injury Compensation Fund. And to date, according to Reuters, 7,500 people have applied for compensation from this fund after taking the shot. 7,500 Americans. That's a low number to me because there's way more people. I know people in my life that say their life has never been the same since they took the shot. They have not felt the same. Varying level, I know three people, varying level of degrees here of things that have happened to them. One of them in particular just keeps looking and looking and looking to try to figure out what's wrong, and they can't figure it out. But it's just not been the same since the shots. 7,500 people have gone to this injury compensation fund, which nobody knows about. And what this doctor wants to do is let people know about this injury compensation fund. 7,500 people. Three claims have been paid out. Less than $5,000. This is about to be a major story with the Biden administration and the Democrats in charge. They're going to fight anybody that comes to this injury compensation fund and claims that the jab has ruined their life. Or as this doctor says, you're physically harmed, you're financially destroyed, and emotionally a wreck. And they have a fund set up for things like this. You can't sue these pharmaceutical companies. That was part of the deal. It was experimental. When you took the shot, you knew or you were supposed to know, and you signed a form right then and there that you cannot sue the pharmaceutical company. Anybody who took the shot signed their rights away. This is an all-timer, folks. An all-timer. And people are just popping up everywhere now with illnesses that can be traced. This doctor says this is not hard to trace these. We know when people started feeling bad. And there's a compensation fund out there where obviously an overwhelming number of people are rejected. Only three claims have been paid to this point. I think about 3% of the applications have been looked at, so we can't say those are rejected yet. So we can't say they're rejecting 99.9% or whatever. They're saying right now 97% are kicked out and about 3% are kept and pursued. They think some of these people are fraudsters or hucksters, but this doctor is on a mission to let people know, nope, I am 50, I'm smart, I'm lucky, I have the wherewithal, but I cannot be a surgeon anymore. My career is ruined because I took this. He is absolutely convinced that he took the Moderna jab, and 7 days later, he could not do surgery. That he had this dreaded transverse myelitis, which keeps him from being a surgeon. He cannot do what he had done his entire adult life. What an absolute shame. Total shame. On Sunday, I was having breakfast with the in-laws in Overland Park. I won't name the place. It's a good place. Not my favorite place for Sunday brunch and breakfast. It's a good place. Equality, it's good. And Spencer, my father-in-law are up at the counter trying to pay. We're finished. We're trying to pay for brunch, breakfast. We had breakfast. We're trying to pay for breakfast, separate cards. This is one of those places where the waiter doesn't take it. Well, what's the point? There's 40 people waiting up by the cash register. It's jammed up there. Now, he and I are up there trying to split the check with two cards, and the girl doesn't know how to do it. Then the machine breaks down, and all. It's one technological staffing problem after another. Whatever happened to going out to eat and the waiter takes your card and comes back and you sign it's just, come on, seriously, restaurants, let's go. And so it was a wreck. We were up at the counter for at least 10 minutes and wound up paying with cash because the computer thing broke down, which they got some 15-year-old busboy to come over and fix because he's the only guy in the place that knows how to fix computer things, right? So he comes over to, I look over at our table while Jessica and her mom are still sitting there talking. We're going to go back. Our plan was to pay, come back. I'm going to finish my iced tea, 5 more minutes, and we'll leave. We had looked up to the register, and nobody was there paying, so we thought that's the time to go pay. I look over, and there's my buddy Spencer Marquardt, and he's standing there talking to Jessica and Jan, and he's just got this big smile on his face, and he's wearing a ball cap, and he's one of those guys that's just always smiling and upbeat and happy, and I'm sure everybody has bad days. I'm sure he has bad days. It's never shown. Anytime I've never, ever, ever been around him that I thought, oh boy, he's having a bad day. It's always a good day. So we finish up. By this time, he's gone back over to the table with his wife and his teenage son, and they're sitting over there. And so I walk over to say hi and shake his hand. And they had gotten up at, I don't know, 5 a.m., and they live in pretty South Overland Park. And they drove all the way up by the airport for a baseball game that started at 7 a.m., and they were starving. By the time they got all the way back near their house, it's 151st and Metcalf, roughly, where we were. And by the time he gets back out, they're having breakfast, and his wife has this giant puffy winter coat on. And I'm like, man, I love that coat. She goes, I am still trying to thaw out from this boy's baseball game at 7 a.m. I'm like, parents are awesome. Parents and the sacrifices for their children and the things that they do are awesome. And they had smiles on their face. They were happy to have a warm cup of coffee, and they were happy to be having breakfast together as a family. And it's just, sometimes you know great people. And if you don't know who Spencer Marquardt is, I mention him from time to time on this podcast. He's the founder of Finch Knife Company. That's just the kind of people they are. I can tell you all about Finch Knife Company, but I would rather just tell you about Spencer and his family today. FinchKnifeCo.com is their website. Awesome folks. Just incredible folks. So many of our sponsors are that way. I'm headed back to Dr. Bill Bush's tomorrow at North Kansas City Dental, going to the Northland office. I'm going to get a couple of fillings out. I have fillings in my mouth from, I don't know, 40 years ago? When did I? No, longer than that. When do you start getting fillings? Age 10 or something? 13, 14? I don't know. This would have been the 70s. So these babies have been in since some point in the 70s, I guess. And he goes, those things are metal. You really need to get those out. I said, sure, that's great. Here's what he did with me. He put me on a 3-year plan to maximize my dental insurance and not cost me a lot of money out of pocket for the things that he's doing. So we did a crown and something else. I remember the other thing he did by the crown last year. Now it's 2023. They're going to do 2 fillings on the right side, and they're coming out. And I think out of pocket, it's going to maybe cost me like $165. The rest will all be insurance. Those babies are going to be gone. And then next year, after the calendar turns in 24, there's a couple over on the left side that need to come out. And he said, we'll do those then, and we'll use your insurance then. So it's really cool the way, as a business, they navigate this through and say, we'll take your time with the things that we need to change. You're not in any pain, or, you know, we need to straighten this. And he said, we'll do it over time and maximize your insurance. I love that, because I wouldn't have thought about that. I'd be the guy, I'm a little morbid. I'd go in there and say, let's just, if you're going to shoot me up, just shoot up my whole mouth today. Let's do them all. He goes, you don't ever want to do that. Just get this little bottom right thing fixed here in April of 23. Perfect. We'll get those done. You'll be numb on the bottom right for a while. Then that's that. We'll see you again next year. Work on the ones on the left side. You got to love that about North Kansas City Dental. You're going to love this dentist. NKCDental.com. And of course, John and Heather, my friends over at Amazing Garage Floors. I get compliments all the time when my friends come over about the garage floor. They say, is it really as good as you say it is? It is better. I can't put into words how much I love my garage floor. You can't. It's just, I've had the old concrete garage floor, and the way the salt and sand pools on it, and you can't get it off, and you got to scrape and scrub and power wash and all the things you have to do, and the mess that it makes, ugh, and the cracks and stuff. Every little thing they can fix with an Amazing Garage Floor. They can even put filler in the cracks and put the seal right over the top. It looks like you got a beautiful concrete floor. Give John, or probably Heather will answer the phone if you call. Give her a call at 913-901-7139 and have them come out and give you a bid on what it might cost to put an Amazing Garage Floor in at your home. It's going to completely transform the space. Then I would recommend, if you haven't done it, to paint the interior of your garage, and it will really feel like an extension of your house. You do the garage floor. My buddy Danny over at Gecko Painting, his people are awesome. I've known Danny for years. They come paint your garage. Do the garage floor, you got a whole new room on your house. That's just the way it feels. It's pretty cool stuff. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Over the weekend, Budweiser released an online ad, and they were hoping it would go viral. And it did, and it didn't go well. The responses to it were poor. But it's a great spot, and we've seen variations of this before. Budweiser knows they're in trouble with conservatives. They know this. So they put out a pro-America ad that will give you chills. It's awesome. It's about the heartland, the American spirit. It shows a lot of our monuments. It winds up in the Grand Canyon. It's cool. There's no doubt about it. It's cool. They waited several days and they did this. It is easy to bash them for this. It is easy to say you screwed up on the transgender Bud Light cans. People are boycotting. I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. I'm not. You know, a lot of people have taken shots at Bud Light and said, well, this is trash beer or whatever. This is, listen, I'm not a beer snob. I'm not there. There's no way I'm going there. You may look, I know, you know, Jessica likes a wine called Kim Crawford that's not expensive at all. Does she like expensive wine? Yeah, I'm sure she does. But she has a nice wine that she likes that she drinks from time to time called Kim Crawford that isn't very expensive at all. And it's mass produced and there's television commercials on it, whatever. It's okay. We're just not snobby people. We're not like that. So I'm not going to sit here and bash Bud Light for what it is. I drank Bud Light for years and I'm so weak that I went down to Michelob Ultra because it's even lighter. It's a few calories less and a couple of carbs less. And so I drink Michelob Ultra. It's got enough beer taste for me. I don't drink Guinness. I don't know what that is. To me, that's not beer, but I grew up an American kid on light beer. This is what we could afford in college. It's what we drank, and it's what we've done. So there's an Americana to it. And you can call it American beer if you want. The lightest of light lagers are considered maybe American beers. American beers can be very light. Budweiser, which I like Budweiser. I have no problem drinking a Budweiser. I used to drink a little Budweiser in college. Once the light beer came out, I didn't drink as much of it. So Budweiser's commercials have always been my favorite. They've always been great. They've always been America. I love the Clydesdales. I love the dogs, the Dalmatians. I love the dogs in the commercials around the barns, around the Clydesdales that aren't Dalmatians. I love the spirit of Anheuser-Busch advertising in my adult lifetime. It has been as conservative, flag-waving Americana as any product in this country. Right? Even more than maybe, what did Chevrolet used to say? What was their thing? Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, something like that. Chevrolet had a huge American influence to its advertising, and they've backed off that because so many car parts come from other places and whatnot. I mean, Chevy's still find new roads and Americana with baseball and things like that, but it's not what it once was. The Budweiser brand has continued to do that, so this is not out of step for them. They just came up with something new. To me, it looks like they didn't have to go shoot much of this. This was all stuff that they had from other commercials, and they put it together. And I would just ask the question for all the people that go on social media and they bash Budweiser for putting this out. First of all, different beer than Bud Light, same company, different beer. The reaction on social media has been dreadful. They have just attacked relentlessly. Do you really want to be those people? Okay, because we see those people on the left, and we really make fun of those people. Like, we really think they need a life. You really want to be the person that bashes a pro-America ad? If they're willing to put it out, my question to anybody that just wants to rip Anheuser-Busch apart at this point for putting this Budweiser ad out, now, knock them all you want on the trans can. That was a giant mistake. It was silly and stupid, and they blew it, and they're paying the price for it. But to bash Budweiser now for trying to help Bud Light by putting this beautiful commercial out, if you've gone and bashed them on social media, I would simply ask the question, what else can they do? It's been 2 weeks. They put something out that they knew you would like, and you have to admit you like it. When you look at it, you're like, oh man, I love this. You have to admit that. It's not pandering because they've been doing it for 75 years, for crying out loud. So it's not pandering. It's what they are. They're trying to remind you this is what our company was built on, this Budweiser brand, and this is the way we've always marketed Budweiser. I think trashing them for releasing this spot over the weekend is wrong. I think you got it all wrong. If you're just so butthurt at this point over the trans can that everything's going to make you mad, you need to put a little context into this. And I would ask you, what else can they do at this point? It's not an apology ad. It doesn't say we're sorry. They just put it out because they knew millions of people would look at it right now. And they're hoping people like me and like you remember that's what their brand has been marketed forever. And it has. It's real. It's not fake. It's not falsified. And it's not jimmied up because of the trouble they're in. The timing of it is why. But it's been 2 weeks. What do you expect a corporation to do? By the way, the CEO of this corporation, have you read about this guy? The CEO of Anheuser-Busch worked for the CIA. He was a recruiter for the CIA. I'm going to guess that Anheuser-Busch very quickly, okay, and they're owned by InBev, which is a Dutch company or Belgian or something. Belgian, I think. I think very quickly they're going to take an anti-woke policy that's going to stick for a long, long time. I think that's right. I've not heard that the CEO is in any trouble, but he's a white dude, so I guess you can fire that guy. They can't fire her, right? They can't fire this woman, because then all hell breaks loose on the left. I mean, this is liberal privilege. When we talk about liberal, it is 25,000 times stronger than white privilege. Liberal privilege is amazing. It's hard to say. Liberal privilege is amazing. This woman has not been fired. They can't fire her. Can you imagine what the Alphabet people would do if they fire her? Can you even imagine? Now, they can reassign her. They can put her off in a corner and not let her do anything. And I'm sure she has a contract for 3 years or whatever, was hired for a certain amount of time, and just let it play out and have her do nothing. Work from home and nobody knows. They can do that. They can't fire her. They can't fire her. She's got liberal privilege, and it's massive liberal privilege. Love this story from social media. I think this was on Twitter. Might have been Insta. 3 million people saw it over the weekend. It'll be more than that now because it's really gaining traction in the mainstream. There's an influencer, a content creator. I fight with the proper term to use. Her name, she's a young lady named Liberty Ann Flynn. She's got a whole bunch of followers. She goes around and does little videos, and people seem to like them. Seems like a likable person. She went to Walmart to make a video. She's at Walmart making a video, and she walks over to the bakery section, and they have little packages. You've seen these packages. They have the little cardboard bottom container and then the saran wrap over the top, and they've baked something yummy, and they put it in there. And in this are two sugar cookies. They're decent-sized sugar cookies, okay? These aren't the size of a, you know, they're like the size of a, they're like bigger than a baseball, maybe the size of a golf cup. So they're decent-sized sugar cookies. There's two of them in a package, and they got a big sign up. They're very proud that they're on sale. It says, two for $3. Now, I was confused here if that means two cookies or four cookies. The way I read that is that's two packages of two. That's four cookies. There's only two cookies in the package. So to me, if I'm at Walmart and I see that sign, I'm assuming I can get two of these packages, four cookies, for $3. And they're big cookies, which isn't the end of the world. But she puts this video out and says, well, I know we're in a recession now. Here we go. Two cookies for $3. She says, I remember seeing these as a little kid in 2008, that there were only two cookies here for a price. So she's basically saying it's been 15 years when she's in her 20s now, when she was a kid that she saw something like this. And she put it up and 3 million people have seen it. Now, again, she's an influencer and a content creator and doesn't know the difference between inflation and recession. She's there spending her money. Recession is when people don't spend their money. So she's there spending some money, but she's basically saying prices are out of control. It was interesting to see, and I didn't see these, but I read in the story, it said some of the people that then complimented about her video, commented on her video. One dude said he went into the gas station, the convenience store, to get milk. It was $7 for a gallon. Another person posted, hey, this is not inflation. This is corporate greed, that they'll do this every time they can. These people that talk about corporate greed do not understand supply and demand. So corporate greed, look, is there corporate greed? Of course there is. The number one corporate greed on the planet is pharmaceuticals. There's just no question. And the greed really isn't greed, folks. It's marketing is greed. If you want to combine the two, you can. Pharmaceutical companies market their products because they know there's 8 billion people on Earth. You know, I got to think at this point, like 5 billion of those people will take anything. You tell them they need to take this drug, they go, give it to me. Just give it to me. I'll take this pill. I'll take this shot. Anything you got, give it to me. I'll take it. I'm astounded that people do that, but they do. So pharmaceutical greed really is marketing. Let's be honest. But when you say this is corporate greed by Walmart, you're not selling as many cookies. When your prices are higher, Walmart's numbers are down. They're closing some stores in the cities where people are really struggling financially. So they're closing down in cities saying, we're just losing money in these stores. We can't keep this up. So we're out. Okay, that's what inflation does. Inflation has a real impact. They don't sell as much. The prices are up. We would think that they're trying to keep their margins the same because Walmart, as a business, has to be lower selling sugar cookies than Price Chopper, for example. They have to be, or Walmart can't stay in business. Anybody who wants to comparison shop, Walmart still has to be lower than everyone else, or nobody's going to Walmart. Nobody's going to fight that mess at Walmart if the prices aren't better. The reason you go to Walmart, and we're going there Monday afternoon because we didn't get there this weekend, the reason we go is everything you buy there, you save money on, and you know it, and you don't even have to comparison shop. You just know it. But you can. I can go buy a 12-pack of caffeine-free Diet Coke at Walmart, or I can walk up here to my Price Chopper, and the difference is crazy. It'll be $1.50 or more at Price Chopper than Walmart, because of course it will. And people know that. So the influencer a little confused, but it's gone viral. And I think the bigger point here should be we're a long ways away from the election. With stuff like this going on, with young 20-something influencers getting millions of views on how much stuff costs, boy, that has to be really, really, really bad for Joe Biden. Really bad. I am planning this week, we'll see how the weather is. I'm planning on playing golf with Dr. Jeremy Fry over at Fry Orthodontics. Looking forward to that. He's going to have me out to his club to play golf. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. KK getting in some tall cotton now. Yeah, baby. I will not disclose the club, but that'll be really cool. We'll see how the weather is on Wednesdays when we're planning. It looks like right now, more than likely, it's going to rain, but we'll see. Dr. Jeremy's a good dude. Can't wait to catch up with him. I'll report back and let you know how that goes. It's a late afternoon tea time because I'm sure he's working most of the day. Because he loves to work at Fry Orthodontics, 13 locations. Get that smile for life. Did you guys see the golfer, Matthew Fitzpatrick, won this weekend? You see his teeth? He's from England. His dad still has bad teeth. They showed him afterwards. I'm like, what is it with Europeans and their teeth? Dr. Jeremy, should we open? Can I invest in opening a Fry Orthodontics in London? Can I do this? They just aren't interested. Matthew Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Open in his grill when he won it. You're like, whoa, what? He looked like Austin Powers. No offense. It's just they just don't do dental, I guess, in Europe. They just don't. They raise their kids and there's nothing embarrassing about having crooked teeth. Just if you can straighten them a little bit, do it. You know, they got great products to do that. It's not that expensive. Matthew Fitzpatrick just won yesterday at Harbortown. He's got braces on that you can barely see, but you can see something's going on there. Because when his lips are closed, was the term buck tooth? He's got teeth that stick way out. So this is an extreme example with Matthew Fitzpatrick. But good for him. Good for him. I mean, this is what you can do. You can have confidence. Your smile's getting better. He went out and won a tournament while wearing braces. I don't think I've ever seen that. And big smile and all the way around. And they're the sort of invisible braces, the ones that are harder to see. That's awesome. That's awesome. I respect that. If you're an adult, you can still do it. As an adult, you don't have to be a teenager. It's not just for kids. FryOrthodontics.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control. When I saw Spencer yesterday at the breakfast place, he said, yeah. He said, Advantage is coming out this week. We gave him a call. I said, really? He goes, yeah, we have an ant problem. I said, oh, like that Geico commercial where they've got all these ants in the house, Aunt Betty, Aunt Betsy, Aunt whatever in the house. Have you seen that commercial? We have an ant problem. Expired, expired, expired. You've seen that commercial. I said, oh, you have an ant problem. I said, A-N-T, not A-U-N-T. He said, yeah, A-N-T. Advantage is coming out and going to take good care of Spencer and his family's place for sure. Oh, boy, he's going to be mad at me for saying that. Look, we've all had ant problems. We used to get them around our kitchen window that would come in by the sink. That's where we got them all the time in our former house. We have not seen ants yet here, but we haven't been here very long, and it can absolutely happen. We used to get them around our kitchen window all the time. Then they'd be on the countertops, which just drive you crazy. Little bitty ones, just the little bitty ones. That's an easy fix for Advantage. Those babies will be gone. And I'll tell you why we got them. I waited too long, I think, to replace the window. We had cracks. I think that's how they got in. The window things were cracked, and there was moisture around them, and I waited too long, and I think that's what happened. So that's on me more than anything else, but boy, Advantage can wipe that thing out in a hurry for you, and we'll do so. AdvantageTPC.com. That's AdvantageTPC.com. The NFL draft is here in Kansas City. It's next week. So we're still about 9 days out from the draft. It's an interesting, the NFL draft to me is interesting in Kansas City. A lot of people have asked me, are a lot of people going to go? And I said, yeah, I think the weather's going to probably be good. Shouldn't be too cold, end of April. And it's football fans to begin with. They don't mind, even if it's in the 50s in the evening, the football fans won't care. It's free to go sit on the hill. So I think a lot of people will come, and if the weather's crappy, maybe stay an hour or whatever. I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to go. I think this is the kind of thing where Kansas City shows up and we go, holy smokes, are we different than a lot of places. And if you can't get a giant crowd at the draft when you've got a two-time Super Bowl winning team in your town right now, then I give up. So I think there's going to be some spots that are a little inconvenient for you, you know, for parking, for getting around, crowded areas. Did you know that there are tickets to the draft? I did not know this. I thought this was all shut off. I thought it was all the muckety-mucks. You had to work for a team. You had to be the guy that sits down on the floor and calls it in, whatever. There are some VIP areas right up on the stage. You're up on a riser. There's tables. It's your meal. It's all your drinks. It's everything all night long. You are like right next to the draft stage. All the teams that are drafting, all the players that come out, Roger Goodell, you'll probably be on TV, the whole thing, like right up front. You've watched the draft before. You've seen the Oscars. You've seen all this. And you're like, okay, who are these VIPs over here in the wings? That can be you. These are for sale. It's not cheap. I'm just telling you right now. But if you're that guy, if you're blessed in this life, that you have the wherewithal to say, wow, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I want to go do this, and I can afford it. Tickets for Less has these. Tickets for Less has them. Is that, to my knowledge, the only way in? A lot of times I will tell you to go on ticketsforless.com and use the promo code KKHI. In the case of the NFL draft, if you want this VIP, and this is VIP, you'll get stage selfies. There's all kinds of stuff you're going to get. This is an incredible NFL draft VIP experience. This is where, I mean, I don't know, there's going to be bigwigs there. Of course there are. The exclusive event, very limited number. This is for opening night only, which is the night you want to go. Only Thursday night. Opening night only. Main theater near the stage access, first round, Union Station. All-inclusive food and drink, beer, wine, etc. Elevated tiered viewing platform, great view of the main stage, and access to the draft day one concert. They have not announced, they might be announcing Monday who the act is. Apparently it's going to be a really big name. You have access to that. Earn 10% off with Draft VIP at ticketsforless.com. Draft VIP. Or better yet, just call them up. Just call them up at 877-685-3322. If you can't remember the 877, you can use the 913. That works too. 913-685-3322. Mention the podcast. That gets you the 10% off. Or Draft VIP. And you're in, like Flynn. Now, this is incredibly exclusive opportunity for you. So that'd be awesome. But that's Tickets for Less does that. They do a lot of really cool, high-end things that nobody else has. Who knew that you could do that? Go for it. Riley Gaines she's not backing down, man. Reminds me of the Tom Petty song, I Won't Back Down. She will not back down. Riley Gaines, the swimmer, 12-time All-American swimmer, who competed and lost to Leah Thomas, a man, was shuttled off stage in San Francisco last week. Assaulted, verbally assaulted as well, escorted by the cops into a safe room where she stayed for 3 hours and missed her flight. She has now written an op-ed piece that describes the entire ordeal, and it is incredible. You're going to want to read this. I saw it at foxnews.com. It's probably other places too. She says for the 3 hours while she was walking and while she was locked up for 3 hours, they were hollering, she could hear through the walls, hollering at her that you did this to yourself. They were screaming at her that she needs to pay them to leave. They were extorting her to leave. That they wanted her to give back her speaking fee to these mobsters that shoved her or pushed her into this room where she was holed up with cops. They wanted her to give back her speaking fee to those people. In response, she has written, "There was no speaking fee. I didn't get paid by San Francisco State University." She may have some sort of agreement with Turning Point USA at some point, but I don't know at this point that's happened. Her plan was to go to dental school. She's finished in college. She wants to be a dentist. She was going to dental school. And then this happened, and she spoke out, and they've attacked her. She has famously said, when they come after you, speak louder. And she says this is now a purpose in her life for other women, that she wants to do. This used to be a completely leftist issue. Strong women doing strong things for other women. And now it is a conservative issue. They're handing us stuff. They're handing us issues, right and left. They're handing this to women. This is a winning issue for any Republican. There can be no doubt about it. She writes in the op-ed that their plan backfired. My followers on social media have quadrupled, and the mainstream media is interested in having me write op-eds like this and do interviews on their cable channels. You lost. Her message to everyone that attacked her that night is, you lost. I'm skipping dental school, and I'm about to be your worst nightmare. Because for whatever reason, people are interested in what I have to say. And it is not about me, because I'm not competing anymore. It's about everyone coming up through the ranks. Every girl everywhere. This woman is something else, man. I love Riley Gaines' attitude. I love her spirit. This is really, really strong. Check out the op-ed. I saw it at foxnews.com if you want to go read it. It is more than pretty cool stuff, that's for sure. Another girl getting famous is Masters Girl. You know, I nicknamed her Masters Girl. We had a little watch party over here at the house. I'll drop some names here. We had, you know, I don't give real names out. You know this. So we had Big G here. We had the friend you can't mention on the podcast here. We had Smitty here. If you know those people, you know who I'm talking about. But we had those guys over, and the wives were here. And so we're watching the Masters, and it's unfortunately, it's not that compelling. And as John Rahm and Brooks Koepka get to the 16th hole, I went, whoa, boys, whoa, who's that? And they looked up, and they changed the camera angle, and they didn't see it. And they're all talking. We're not watching the golf that intently anymore because it's not that close. But 16th hole is my favorite place. I'm excited. I'm looking at it. We're sitting outside. It was a beautiful day. And then they go back to the shot where the camera is, you know, way down the hole, shooting back at the tee box. And Koepka and Rahm are standing there waiting. They're not playing yet. And behind them is the gallery. You can see all the people. And I said, boys, there she is. And they look up, and there's this young lady that has a Masters ball cap on. It says Masters 2023. I said, I wonder who that is. Or, you know, I was thinking, is that one of their girlfriends, a wife? Who is this? I don't know who this is. It didn't look like your normal 58-year-old white dude in the gallery, right? She's maybe 20, 22, couldn't really tell. But right between them, like there's Koepka's face, there's Rahm's face, and there's a little room between them, and the first person in the gallery, not 3 feet behind him, is her. So I coined right then and there Masters Girl. I said, oh, Masters Girl's going to go viral, boys. And they all laughed, and they didn't catch enough glimpse of her. And they said, no way. I said, you just watch. Masters Girl is going to go viral. Because it was almost like a close-up. Like she was standing there with Koepka and Rahm. And we didn't think too much about it. We never even spoke about it the rest of the day. We reported to you that she did go viral, that there were gazillions of guys on Twitter that said, gosh, I've only known her for 8 seconds, but I love her. You know, things like that. Her name is Eilish Kukumoto, and she is a student at Texas Tech and a cheerleader for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And she was at the Masters with her dad, who apparently was standing next to her. Nobody noticed him. Nobody noticed dad in the crowd, but she went to the Masters with her dad. She likes golf. She loves Texas Tech. She's a cheerleader, and she went viral. And now, one week after going viral, she has a contract with GSX Modeling. She has a name, image, and likeness contract with several Lubbock businesses at Texas Tech. And she is cashing in like a queen bee at Texas Tech as a cheerleader. Good for her. So I saw a couple of pictures of the modeling. They're tasteful. She's got like some leather pants on, and she's standing there, and she has clothes. It's not, there's no swimsuit or anything like that at this point. I don't know what she's going to do. I know what I would do with her if I were her. I would get the Twitter handle right away, Masters Girl. Or 2023 Masters Girl. I would go grab that handle on all my social media, and I would start doing golf videos. Paige Sporanic has made millions doing this. There are copycats. There's a girl out there named Karen Hart that does it. There's all kinds of girls that are like golf girls that do this stuff on social media, and they get a bunch of followers, and immediately the golf companies give them everything they want. They give them golf cart, equipment, clothes, model our clothes, do all this stuff, just make your videos, and they pay them money. I would be Masters Girl 23 if I were her on social media, and I let the Masters come sue you for being Masters Girl. Pretty cool stuff. America's a great place now. America's a great place. All right, a couple other great sponsor mentions here before our final. Oh, our final is tasty. That's my clue to you. It is tasty today. The final is tasty today. My friends at the Blue Mountain Hotel would love to have you in Manhattan, whether you need to stay the night, need to stay for a week for a conference, or if you've got a wedding or event you'd like to plan in the Manhattan area, call for group reservations. Skylar should be more than happy to take your call at the Blue Mountain Hotel. BlueMontHotel.com. This is Manhattan's destination hotel. It is a fantastic place. It's got a wonderful rooftop patio, a ballroom, classrooms, pre-function areas. They can host your gathering with amazing views of Manhattan and the K-State campus. It's all right there, and so is Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. It's all in one place in Manhattan. For more information, log on to BlueMontHotel.com. Buck Roofing, we had some storms over the weekend. I saw hail at my house. If you got hail, it's time to call Ron Buck for a free roof inspection. This is free, folks. Have him out to your house. 90-some percent of the people he goes and checks their roof, he says, you're fine, and he tells you how many years. I told you he went to a very famous person's house 2 years ago and said, you're good here. You got a couple more years. And that person called like 2 years to the day and said, can you come do my roof now? It's been 2 years. I'm like, okay, great. Nice stuff. That's the way it works at Buck Roofing. We got hail. You need to have it checked out. If you have hail damage on your roof right now from the hail we got over the weekend, your insurance covers that. Make no bones about it. Insurance covers that. And Ron's an expert at whether your insurance will take care of it or not. 913-384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your house. And our friends at Great Life KC would love for you to play more golf this year. Log on to greatlifekc.com or send an email to join at Great Life Golf. They've got dozens of courses in the area. One's got to be near you. Tell them what you'd like to do. They've got a plan that fits your budget. There's a wide variety of different things for different folks. But you can play more golf with a one-time monthly fee. It's really cool. Join at greatlifegolf.com. Be sure and let them know that you heard about them on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Our final is a tasty story out of New York where a company called H&H Bagels has really done it. They can't take credit for this. This is awesome. You want a corporation doing something cool? Like you got mad at Bud Light over the trans. I get it. I'm mad at them too. You want to see a corporation doing something? I think this is Kraft Foods, but it doesn't really matter. Just go with the brand because each brand is kind of run independently, whatever. The brand here is Philadelphia Cream Cheese. Philadelphia Cream Cheese was looking for a store in New York, a bagel store, to do something very unique. They called H&H Bagels in New York and said, is there any way you could make a bagel with the cream cheese inside? And then instead of slicing it and having to put the cream cheese on it, you just cut it in half and you have two pieces of a bagel. It's not cut, so there's not four pieces, it's two pieces. You just cut it. They said, yeah, we think we could do that, but why would we do that? People love the sliced bagel and they love putting their own amount of cream cheese on or whatever. They love doing that. And Philadelphia Cream Cheese said to H&H Bagels, did you know in New York City that there is a 9% sales tax on a bagel if it is sliced, but there is not a 9% tax on it if it's not sliced? And they said, nope. So apparently you can go to the grocery store and buy your own bagels and they're not sliced and you don't pay a tax on them. There's like a grocery store bagel. No tax on the groceries at the grocery store. But at a restaurant, a sliced bagel gets a 9% tax. They said, if you can put it on the inside and we can cut this thing in half, we're going to name this the tax-free bagel. Are you kidding me? Philadelphia cream cheese went to H&H Bagels in New York and said, do this, and H&H Bagels in New York did it. And they think they've actually reinvented the wheel. The guy that runs the place says, this is easier for everyone. We put the filling in the middle of your bagel, and you're good to go. You don't have to dust it up and polish it up. He's thinking to-go orders while you're walking down the street going to work or in your car or whatever. He's not thinking about people in his store. When you come in the store, you're still going to want the hot bagel. You know, let them toast it up, put the cream cheese on there, and make it yourself. He's just saying for convenience, this might be the way to go. They could put all kinds of different things inside bagels. And if they cut it in half in New York City, it's tax-free. I love this story. I hope you love that story as much as I do. And I hope it leads to you having a great day today. I'm ready. I'm ready for a great day. I hope you are too. And thank you so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman as a show.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.